This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on Ben and Woods 97.3 The Fan. My camera keeps following me everywhere I go.
How about you just sit still for like 10 minutes?
You know I can't sit still, Paulie. I'm not a sit still kind of guy. Good Lord, I'm moving, swinging. You know, going to the bathroom. I like to move. Motion creates emotion. Have you guys never heard this before?
No,
I have not. Motion creates emotion.
Do you need emotion?
Yes.
You have plenty. We do. You have all kinds of emotion.
This job just...
I should be the one who's probably moving around then.
We're the only station in here with a sit-down board, and it makes me insane. They say sitting is the new smoking. And I smoked forever, so I'm doubly screwed here. Is what I'm telling you. I need to be able to stand up and move around a little. And the camera follows me everywhere I go. It's very strange. Well, good morning, everybody. We're, like I said, we're halfway home on a Monday. Great Monday after a sweep. Vibes are high, certainly, in San Diego. The weather is a little bit dreary right now and gray, but not worried about it at all.
Burn off.
Life
is hot this week.
Is it? Life is great right now. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And Ben and I are doing something after the show that has me very nervous.
Really?
Very.
You're nervous about this.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah. Our buddy Matt, he reached out to Ben last week and said, hey, would you guys like to do, he's our moderator on Padres Reddit. And he said, would you guys be interested in doing an AMA? Ask me anything. I guess it would be an AUA, ask us anything, but we said, sure, always happy to help.
It's a good community of Padres fans.
Well,
it's good to, you know, expand our brand to as many platforms as possible.
I think the people there know about our brand. You know what I mean? They know that we exist. I don't think there's going to be people in there going, oh, I didn't know you guys. But they want to hear from us. But also, Reddit can be a very... very scary place, Benjamin. And I feel like the day that I took you to your first gentleman's establishment, you know, you're walking in a little wide-eyed and you don't really know what to expect. And so I'm a little bit nervous about it.
I'll give you a taste. They've already started posting some questions.
Oh,
Here's the very first one. They're pretty easy one to answer,
okay.
Actually.
All right.
Do you guys regularly frequent this subreddit? If so, do you ever laugh at any of the takes you read? Literally, we signed up like 2 days ago so we could do this AMA. But maybe now that we're here,
we'll get started. I'm telling you, don't do it.
If you ask good enough questions, we may stick around
for
a little more Redditing in the future.
See, that's interesting to me, though. You'll spend 12 hours a day on Twitter but won't go on Reddit.
Yeah, but
Twitter's very toxic,
too. But I'm not
too.
Searching for it. It's not like...
I mean, Reddit looks like it's basically...
You just join the Padres subreddit.
It's like Padres Twitter, and you don't get anything else at all. All you get is the Padres stuff. You know, excise
the
rest of the mess.
I like more than the Padres
stuff. You want
stuff.
More than the Padres stuff.
I wouldn't have known about The Cure releasing their new song this Thursday called Alone, which I'm very excited about. First new
you
music.
You would if you...
I was in The Cure Reddit.
If you're in The Cure's subreddit, you'd probably notice.
So, I don't know. Like, yeah, I try not to, like, I used to be really into sitting there fighting about it all day. I'm like, no, that's not what I said. This is what I meant. You know? So now I don't care anymore. We're doing great. Very happy. But, so anyway, we'll go in, read the questions and answer the ones that we choose. Is that right?
Yeah, we can choose whenever we want. We'll go for, you know, 45 minutes, an hour after the show, answering all the questions. So if you are not a member, I'd assume you can sign up and join the Padres subreddit community and ask us anything.
Sure.
A little AUA. I like that.
Okay, good.
I haven't actually an A... You guys, something. I want to ask you guys a
real
question.
Real quick, just because you mentioned Matt.
Yes, I saw that.
I wanted to give a shout out to him and his wife, Lena. They welcomed the newest Padres fan and future tier one, to the world over the weekend. So congratulations to them.
Congratulations. Yeah, Matt is unable to moderate today. I mean, you know, sometimes having a baby will do that to you.
He posted. So, it was pretty scary, I guess.
Yeah, that's why he's not going to be there. But Kevin has stepped in and is going to moderate our AMA for
us. Hoping all the best for them.
No doubt. No doubt. So, yeah, Reddit, AMA, AUA, coming up at 10 a.m. this morning.
All right, so here's my dilemma from yesterday, and I need to get your guys' opinion because I am I'm at odds with my fellow fantasy general manager, my son Jack.
Yes.
So in our fantasy football league this weekend, I am taking on Matt Scraby, And yesterday, I'm actually ahead. I have taken the lead by like a few points. I think I'm 7 or 8 points up on Scraby. Now, he doesn't have any players left. I still have the Bengals defense for Monday Night Football.
Bench.
And I said, well, you can get negative points. If they give up like 50, we could lose. So should I just bench the defense and take a zero? And he goes, that doesn't seem in the spirit of competition, that we should just leave it in there.
Yes, it does.
Sure it does.
So you're locking down a W.
So you think, and you know, but points can come down to tiebreakers at the end.
True.
And it's, I mean, it's very rare that a defense takes a negative point total, especially minus 7 or 8, but it is possible. So you think I should just bench and take a zero
if you were up by,
for my defense and take the win?
Yeah,
if I was up by more, like
if you were up
20
by 20,
or 30,
I would say go for it.
But because it's
points,
within a few points, don't risk it and just bench my defense tonight.
I mean, bro, I'd, if you were up 6, I'd bench my quarterback. If
yeah,
I was,
no
like,
doubt.
If they had nobody left, I mean, all he needs throws 3 picks. You never know.
Yeah, you bench him.
It's not
you
worth
bench
it.
Him. Be smart.
You just need the W.
Okay, just
be smart.
I've got the W. I feel like Mike Schilt would bench the defense.
You'd have
just
to.
Take the win.
Take the win.
Go after the win 100%.
Yeah, the Raiders had -4 yesterday defensively, somebody said. So
yeah, I can absorb that.
You
I
can absorb 4.
But not much more than that.
That's right.
At one point, I was up 55 to -1 because the guy I'm playing, Darren Feeney, he only had his kicker in at the time. He had all afternoon or evening games. And his kicker missed his first field goal.
Right. -1. That's it. Yeah.
So have I done something wrong as a father to raise a son who believes in like the fairness of competition? Like, no, you set the lineup, just let it play out, and if you lose, you lose, and if you win, you win. But you don't
cheating.
Bench your defense.
You're not cheating. You're not doing some secret ad drop or
feels
something.
A little
like,
but it, had the Bengals played yesterday, I wouldn't have had this opportunity.
Correct.
I only have the opportunity because they're playing on Monday
night.
Well,
I think that means you raised a good son that is
that's
know,
what
in
I was thinking
favor
too.
Of the spirit of competition.
But I am now cutting him off of the knees and going, no, we are guaranteeing the win by benching our defense.
Guess
tonight.
What? Cutting your kid off at the knees is the best part about being a father. There's nothing better. That and using them as an excuse to get out of doing things. Those are the two main benefits to having children. Oh, my God. Yeah, somebody that I know had pitched a little fit about having to go play right field yesterday. And your boy almost got dragged off the field in the middle of the game.
You didn't go the old, that's where Fernando Tatis Jr. plays.
Yeah, it's different in Pinto League.
True.
I think a ball made its way out there. But somebody had a little attitude, and dad might have had to lean down and say, hey, you're not that good yet. You still have to play right field. Me just said, you're not that good yet. And his little face, like, I was like, hey, man, I hate to tell it like it is, but you get to play right field just like everybody else gets to. And also, maybe it comes from a spot of somebody that was perpetually in right field for many, many years until I wasn't. So I think you're doing a good job, Ben. I think Jack is a logical, smart guy. He's like you. Jack, you got to be more logical
and
smart.
We're benching the defense. Scraby is taking the L.
Good.
And it wouldn't be his first L because yesterday he took a massive L.
Ooh.
Did you see that?
I did.
So Matt Scraby, who, if you listen to the afternoon program, big 49ers fan. Like, pretty diehard for the 49ers. Actually went up to the game at SoFi Stadium yesterday to watch his team in person take on the Rams. They were up 14-0, 21-7. Big favorites, seemed to have the game well in hand, had a field goal to lock it up with about, 3-4 minutes to go, missed it, Rams go down, score the tying touchdown, force the punt, take it back into field goal range, kick the field goal with 2 seconds left, and pull off one of the more stunning upsets and wins here early in the NFL season yesterday, and Matt Scraby had to watch it all from the corner of the end zone where he was sitting.
Not the best product, in my opinion, to watch live, the NFL. It's just not.
I think it's
much better on TV. But, hey, listen, I get it. You want to go support your team and yell and scream. But it sucks. I mean, you go up. That's one of those you expect you guys are going to win that game. And especially
the Rams
with all the
were without
injuries.
Nakua and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. But the Niners.
Tutu Atwell stepped in, did well.
The Niners had a couple guys
Debo
out as well.
And Christian McCaffrey were both out in the game yesterday.
I'd say, could have been a wash. But, you hate to go that far to that long of an ordeal. Traffic and everything else. An NFL game is nuts. And to watch your favorite team. You're probably going to see maybe once, twice a year.
Yeah,
maybe
every other
maybe
year
every
or something.
Other year.
They'll come down once to SoFi, but I can't imagine he always gets to go up to that game.
It's not a good feeling at all. at all. So sorry about that, Scraby. But the NFL is just massively boring to me right now because baseball is just so hot. It's just so on fire right now. So I watched maybe 12 minutes of college and pros this week. I was super busy with soccer and baseball and all that. I didn't miss it.
I watched a little Red Zone yesterday morning once the Padre game was on. I really didn't watch anything until it was over, and I flipped on the end of that. The Rams game, and I watched a little bit, but that was about it. And I agree with you, and I think it's okay because I know the 49ers, even though they're 1-2, they're going to be there at the end. These are early season games, and they're not that important. Even Bill Belichick will tell you September games aren't that important. It's how you're playing in November and December at the end of the season. And I know in the NFL, it feels like every game is just massive because there's just one a week and you only play 17 a season. But the early season games are definitely, hey, you're not the team you're going to be yet. You just want to make sure you're moving forward in the right direction and trying not to get too many injuries.
Well, it's like every sport, man. It's not how you start. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. That's what matters the most. I had a kid yesterday, you guys, from my team, struck out the first two ABs of the game. Didn't come close to hitting a pitch. And made an adjustment, got like three hits after that. And that's the first thing I said to him. I grabbed him after the game. I said, doesn't matter how you start, man. It's how you finish the game, and ended up winning that game. And he was a huge, huge part of it. My man Jackson. So it's such a good lesson for sports fans and of any sport. It's really how you finish the season, how you finish the game that matters the most.
All right. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, had our first end of season manager dismissal with a week to go yesterday, last night, if you missed that. And another one is expected in the next few days. Someone who is a friend to the program, but is already talking about the end coming soon. So we'll get to all of that coming up after a check of traffic with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. We've got a breaking programming alert for you here on 97.3 The Fan.
We got big leagued.
We did. By our own Sammy Levitt.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yep.
Who we have been so good to.
He's been really good
and
to us.
And he's been really
too.
Good to us.
It's a tit for tat situation.
But today, Sammy just informed us that he will be doing a local news segment. Not on my station, but on another station that will not be named at 8:30.
Fox 5.
I told you we're not going to name it.
Fox 5. He's going to be on Fox 5 in the mornings with them this morning. Right?
But he will,
Fox 5? Love Fox 5. My late father-in-law worked at Fox 5.
Why? He also works
Fox
at Channel 10.
Why Fox 5?
Never.
Simply the best.
Fine.
My beloved Heather Lake, Chrissy Russo, tons of my favorites over
Troy
there.
Troy Hirsch.
Troy Hirsch is amazing.
Love Troy.
Oh, my God. I love Troy Hirsch. That guy at fantasy camp last year.
What a blast.
He's amazing.
It was so fun to finally have Troy Hirsch.
You guys have always
local
wanted
sports
to
director
hang out with
fantasy
a cool
camp.
Television sports anchor, haven't you?
For 6 years, I've been dying to hang out with a guy that talks sports but is also super cool, like Troy Hirsch.
We've been telling Troy for 6 years, hey, man, you're a sports director. Get out to
there.
Fantasy
All
camp.
I can say is I would never steal Sam Levitt away from this show.
Troy, we got an Airbnb. You can stay with us.
I love Whatever. Troy Hirsch. Love it.
Samuel joined us at what, 9 o'clock instead of 8:30.
Yeah, yeah, tell him about the text you just got, though, Paulie, because I've got one very similar from the weekend.
Sammy was like, I'm so sorry. I totally forgot. Can I join you in the 9 o'clock? I said, yeah. 9:35 work? I said, yes, my fault. I'm a Mormon. I said, Mormon? This is all caps. Moron!
I'm a Mormon.
I'm like, Sammy, that's great. Good for you. I don't know that I needed to know that.
You converted, apparently, over the weekend
Good
to Mormonism.
For you.
LDS, congratulations, Sammy. Moving to Utah
I'm
soon.
A Mormon.
So I was watching yesterday, watching the broadcast, final home game for Mud and Don. And I was very moved by all of the, you know, the emotions, and they're thanking the Friar faithful. The faithful. And I texted both of them at the end of the game, waited until the game was over, and I said, thank you, gentlemen, for countless hours of laughs and comfort this season. Proud to know you both. You're the best in the game. Mud writes back, thanks, Woodsy. Appreciate the kind words. Rock and roll. Don Orsillo writes back, thanks, Bother.
thanks, Bother.
And then he said, Brother. And I said, Bother also works. It's fine.
It does.
It does work. Thanks, Bother. It laid me out, dude. And he wrote back, I said, bother works. It's fine. I don't like to bug those guys much during the games. But there's just, yeah, I mean, you think about how much time you spend with those guys, you know, watching home games and watching every game. But watching games, you just think about how much time you spend with them and how many times you laugh your ass off hysterically throughout the season and love the big moments. And there's just nobody better than those two.
All right, quickly, speaking of programming notes, you can tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, Gwynn and Chris, occasionally even Sam Levitt, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable Pizza Royalty. All right, we had our first, well, not first, because the White Sox have fired their manager. The Mariners fired their manager earlier in the season. But first kind of end-of-season move yesterday.
Yeah, White Sox, Mariners, and then yesterday.
Yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds, after six seasons, fired David Bell as manager with a week to go. I didn't even see who's going to be their interim skipper for the next few days. But he's out. Cincinnati, who was kind of threatening early in the season as a team that might, you know, push toward a wild card spot, fell off pretty badly in the second half of the year. They're 76-81. That's not horrible. I don't think anyone thinks David Bell did a terrible job, but they have just never quite been able to get over the hump, and they've decided to go in a different direction. And speaking of different directions, it's not official yet, but with the final home game of the season for the Miami Marlins yesterday, Skip Schumacher talked to reporters and pretty much acknowledged what's been inevitable for most of the season, that this was going to be Skip's second and final year with the Miami Marlins. He's going to be leaving that position at the end of the year. Manager of the year, led his team to the playoffs in 2023 this year with really no players and no hope at the beginning of the season. It's not gone well, and the Marlins have the worst record in the National League at 57-99. And he will likely be out on the free agent market at the end. But he said, hey, wouldn't trade this experience for the world. Lots of great relationships that I've built that I'm never going to forget. It's really good last 2 years of my life. You can be kind of angry about, you know, firing the GM after going to the playoffs, not, you know, fortifying the roster, but instead trading pretty much every player of significance away. But he didn't. He went, you know, with that Skip attitude all season long, knowing they really didn't have the horses to compete. But there he was. And even this weekend, beat the Braves once, helping out the Padres and lowering that magic number on Friday. Nearly did it again yesterday. They couldn't come through in the end when they had some runners on and ended up losing by one. But still fighting to the end of the season, and that's a Skip Schumacher hallmark right there.
Which is the worst possible case scenario for us. Because, you know, listen, I saw Bob Nightingale tweet yesterday about, oh, Skip Schumacher, a front runner for the Cincinnati job.
Already.
And
he'll be a front runner for just about any job, jobs that aren't open yet.
That's exactly right. And
remember last year, the Cubs were more than happy with their manager until they weren't, when all of a sudden Craig Counsell was available and they said, you know what, we're going to make the change.
And we're going to give you $40 million or something over however many years.
Skip's going to do well this offseason if he wants
Skip's
to.
Skip's going to do really well this offseason. But I think, you know, I'm not going to speak for him because who knows? I mean, anything could change, but I just don't know that Cincinnati is a super desirable location based on what he just went through in Miami, and B, I mean, he wants to be closer to here. You know, the West Coast is his home, and he's got kids and everything else. So that had to be tough, man. That's a long, long way away. So our worst case scenario, we know it. When the Dodgers falter in October, if they make a change and Skip's the manager, that'll be it for your.
Well, I think Paul makes a really insightful point there, and that is normally you look at the open jobs and go, hey, who's a fit for which opening? I think with Skip, you don't have to just look at the open jobs.
Correct.
Look at any team.
Any team.
And there could be any team that thinks Skip is an upgrade over the manager that they have right now. They might be interested in making that move, doing the old, all right, well, let's see if he's interested, and if he is, if he might sign, and then when he does, all of a sudden, you'll hear someone get fired like 2 or 3 weeks after the season,
yeah,
going, uh-oh, here comes a move that was not expected in Major League Baseball.
Now, the other team, the only one I might see him make an exception for would probably be his beloved St. Louis Cardinals, you know, but they signed Ollie Marmol to an extension. Did you guys see the stat over the weekend that I posted that I guess it hadn't registered with me? Nolan Arenado had won more playoff games, one, with the Colorado Rockies than he has since he's been a member of the St. Louis Cardinals, which is shocking. I mean, it's when you lay it out like that, that's shocking. And so I think that is a job, Ben. You know, once you're in that organization, you're always in that organization, as we've heard plenty about. That would be one. If they got rid of Marmol, I mean, I think if you're him, that's one you have to take. I'm pushing him to go anywhere else.
But I mean, Mariners are a playoff contender. It's West Coast, but it's not exactly,
West Coast. Yeah.
But they obviously will be looking for someone. And I know the Angels just hired Ron Washington. Wasn't a great first season. I don't know how much they're on the hook for with Ron Washington, but there's another one that I wouldn't be completely shocked if, at least behind the scenes, that they were doing some discussion, as Skip does make his home in Orange County in the offseason. So
Seattle and Anaheim, fine by me. Yes. Keep them away from the Nationals.
I mean, that's, hey, do you want,
like, there's one thing that would definitely keep Skip from becoming the next manager of the Dodgers, and you don't want that
correct
to happen either.
Then winning the World Series. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, you're really, it's really
what you want for the team is not conducive for not wanting Skip to be the manager there.
Somebody,
here's the best scenario for you. Padres, Dodgers meet in the NLCS, which the Padres win in a hard-fought seven-game series.
Yes.
That really the Dodgers feel like, well, I mean,
right,
we had all
there
these injuries.
We were right there.
We can't get rid of Dave Roberts after that. So that's probably what you're kind of hoping for.
Somebody asked the question in the chat, will he still wear a Ben and Wood shirt in L.A.? And I said, no, he will not. He'd be stupid. I would tell him, you don't have. Please don't, actually. Please don't. I'm not trying to get you hurt. Because they would hurt him.
I don't even want to talk about it.
I don't either. Let's just stop talking about it.
I don't want to put that in the universe.
Did you find what you were supposed to be looking for?
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Okay, good. Megan thought she heard someone break wind on this program.
I can play it for you.
Yeah, play it.
She was. My wife was listening back to our opening segment, and you guys were talking about...
What in the world?
Dumplings. Ben went and got dumplings.
Dumplings.
She goes,
yeah.
I swear to God, I heard a fart in the background. That was like a sound effect. She goes, no, like one of you idiots farted. And I saw, so I tried to find it.
The xiaolongbao with the pork, which is the soup dumplings.
Okay, in
XLB.
Soup?
No, the soup is inside the dumplings. You eat the dumpling and then the soup kind of...
Did right she think that was me going,
you,
oh.
Yeah. So Woods was pulling like a Homer Simpson.
No, the soup is inside the dumplings. You eat the dumpling and then the soup kind of...
Oh, yeah. It's a little bit.
It was kind of a...
Yeah.
Eat the dumpling and then the soup kind of...
That would have been epic.
The dumplings. You eat the dumpling and then the soup kind of...
What is that for me anyway?
That's what
I want to know. No, that was me fully going, oh, like excited about it. Yeah. A little different.
All right, so with Sammy big-timing us,
yes,
at another station, are
Fox
we going to move the
if you've been,
Rindle Report
got
up?
Got it on right here?
Not enough. It was on Fox 5. He's going to be on Fox 5.
Fine.
Yeah.
All right, if you want, during the break, you can tune to Fox 5.
Oh, we have it on in the studio. There we go.
This is perfect.
And then, Paul, are you going to do a Rindle Report then our next segment?
Sammy's joining us at 9:30, so we can do either one.
Either one. All right.
So coming up next, something.
Content.
This is what Sammy hath wrought,
yes,
on
dude
our program.
Thanks,
all of our
Sammy
best,
yes,
laid plans and attentions. I mean, I can at least tell Sammy that his beloved BYU Cougars beat Kansas State on Saturday night, pulled off the big upset.
I did not hate. No.
Newly minted Mormon Sam Levitt.
So. We are not doing a college football show. Coming up next, not college football.
There you go. Good tease.
Thank
with
you.
With Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Give me your... fresh spin on this subject.
It's not a fresh spin.
You said it's a fresh. You said I have a fresh spin.
No, put the pressure on me.
Mm-hmm.
I think clearly we're heading down a road where someone is going to be considered the biggest or one of the biggest snubs all time for National League Rookie of the Year.
One of three guys.
Yeah,
two of three guys.
Really, one of two. I mean, Jackson Churio's been great, but just his slower start, I think, eliminates him from the race. So it's coming down to Skeens and it's coming down to Merrill. And while we have all, you know, stand for Merrill,
I love Paul Skeens.
Except for Woods.
Or Paul
Paul Skeens.
Paul Skeens.
I
love Jackson Merrill too.
Paul Skeens is an incredibly deserving Rookie of the Year candidate.
Sure.
And he had another 5 shutout innings yesterday, lowered his ERA to 1.99. Which maybe that's where it ends. I don't know if they're going to start him again the final weekend or not. But I don't think there's ever been a rookie pitcher, they said, with like 20 starts and a sub 2 ERA in baseball.
Pretty good, man.
Unbelievable rookie season for Paul Skeens. It's also been an unbelievable rookie season for Jackson Merrill. The position switch, he is one of the best defenders in all of baseball and out in the center field, like top 15 in all of baseball. The clutch factor has been off the charts. The numbers have been incredible, and he's an everyday player. There's a valid argument for both guys. And every piece I saw, and I think this weekend I saw in Sports Illustrated online, wasn't our friend Ryan Phillips, but they said they picked Skeens over Merrill. I mean, I can't even get mad about it at this point. They said in the argument there really should be a position player and a pitcher rookie of the year. There's not going to be one this year, though. They got to pick one. And it comes down to the writers and the vote. And everyone seems to agree. The only fair solution would be co-rookies of the year.
Yeah.
But you can't just name it, because it's just only if the ballots were split. I think there's, 30 voters? So it was like 15 and 15, and they both all voted for one, half voted for Skeens, half voted for Merrill. The other half had second place Skeens, second place Merrill. They could split the award.
Yeah.
But they can't orchestrate it as such.
I mean, 6 months at my house, 6 months at your house.
Unless every single voter, and I don't even know what the rules are for the baseball writers, said, can we all agree that the fair outcome is that they share it? But how do we do that by rigging the vote? I mean, you don't want to rig a vote. It's not a vote anymore if you rig it. But how can you end up with I'd be okay with it. Would you be okay with co-rookies of the year? I would.
Of course. But would they give you half a draft pick? I mean, there's draft pick compensation. Or you both get one? I have no idea.
Well, the Pirates don't get one because they didn't have Skeens on their roster to start the year. So they're not getting one. Only the Padres can get the draft pick.
Good point.
For rookie of the year. And so, I'm not exactly sure if you finish second, do you get something too? I don't even know how the new rules work. But
listen, I mean, this is
the one thing that makes sense would be co-rookies of the year, and I'd have no problem with it. There's just no way to actually fashion that to happen unless the voting turns out to be an absolute tie between the two guys. And what are the odds of that actually happening? Very low. I'm sure the vote will be close, but an actual tie? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the Pirates World Series, this rookie of the year, and that's not a shot at them. We've been there. Padres fans have absolutely been there when that's really all you had to hang your hat on. That's the thing is, man, if you're a team and you have a pitcher like Paul Skeens, a normal fan of that team would say, oh my God, our future is so bright. But you don't know that that's the case with the Pittsburgh Pirates. You just don't. So this is kind of your World Series. So I understand their their passion for it. He's a great pitcher, no question about it. For me, an everyday player that has put up the numbers that Jackson has, that also switched positions. I mean, all that has to be taken into account. He's helping his team get to a pennant race and everything else. He's had some clutch moments. I mean, look, Paul Skeens was amazing yesterday. He threw 76 pitches against the Reds. It's great. I love Paul Skeens. That said, it would be again, I'm not going to think it's a travesty either way.
And I see the argument in the chat, which I agree with. Merrill plays every day versus
every
pitching,
player.
Once a week. Isn't that more valuable? Kind of, yes, but pitchers do win Rookie of the Year awards. So at what point do you make the distinction? Is it all? I mean, otherwise, the pitcher should never win the Rookie of the Year award. Because there's always a rookie who's been playing pretty much every day.
Right.
But what if Merrill only hit 240
right.
with 17 home runs?
Right.
Then do you give it to Skeens? I mean, where's your cutoff line? You have to play well enough if you're playing every day.
Played every day. But also,
you have to play well enough, too.
The clutch.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. There's no doubt about it. Jackson Merrill's been incredibly valuable. One of the, not just most valuable rookies, but especially in the second half of the season, one of the most valuable players.
Correct.
In all of baseball, which tells me he should be the rookie of the year, because how valuable has Paul Skeens been to the Pirates? They're still in last place the last time I checked.
Good start every fifth day. I mean,
can't really do much to affect the team. At the same time, you're never going to see probably a better rookie pitching season than Paul Skeens.
Correct.
You're never going to see it. That's as good as you can do. I mean, he's done everything you could possibly do this season that. So you just say, okay, then pitchers
like
can never
love
win it.
Paul Skeens.
Yeah, you love Paul Skeens too. It's fine. Devin Williams won Rookie of the Year, barely had any innings.
I know.
That's, you know.
Was there just no other decent everyday candidates?
Jake Cronenworth. Yeah.
But they gave it to Devin Williams. They gave it to
Devin Williams. So I just, you know, for me, this is very.
Again, that was the short season, right?
That's true. Yeah. This is very indicative, and it reminds me so much of last year. Trying as hard as I can to give a rat's ass about Blake Snell, Cy Young. I want to play this up, Ben, for the air. Yes, let's go Jackson Merrill. I want it for you so bad. I don't care. I want him to hoist the trophy. And I know that that's what he really wants. At the end of the day, I didn't care about Blake Snell's Cy Young run. I didn't. It was a really nice personal achievement on a really, really terrible season. And so for this, though, it'd be great to win them both, right? You could do both. But I find myself going, I just want to beat the Dodgers tomorrow night. How do we beat them tomorrow night? And I know that's what Jackson Merrill wants, too. So I'd love it for him. I think it would be great. But it's not going to gut me if
Hi,
he doesn't.
This is Jackson Merrill.
Hi, Jackson.
I tend to agree with you. If the Padres disappoint in the playoffs, a rookie of the year for Jackson Merrill ain't going to soothe that.
It's no salve.
And if the Padres win the World Series, I could care less. They've already gotten everything I've ever wanted.
That's it.
You know, cherry on top, fine, but not much of a cherry. That's World Series is so much more important. I'd be at that point, just give it to Paul Skeens.
Yeah, give it to Paul Skeens.
We've got everything we wanted. I don't care anymore. They got the World Series.
Jackson Merrill's hitting the gritty, you know, down Tony Gwynn Avenue. That's fine with me.
He gets a World Series ring. Paul, go ahead. Take the Rookie of the Year.
Enjoy it.
So there's really no win in this situation. You're right about that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure,
But the only fair thing would be co-Rookie of the Years.
Sure.
You just can't make it so. You can't wave your wand and go, boom, done, even though that would be a great outcome at the end.
Yeah, Rookie of the Year, World Series MVP, and World Series champion Jackson Merrill. I'll take that. I'll take that either. I'll take two of those three, and that would be World Series MVP, World Series champion. He remains a delight to watch play the game of baseball every single day. Good role model for kids. A good role model for adults as well. Jackson Merrill is the real deal. So it would... I don't know how much he cares. You know, he says that he doesn't care, but he certainly earned it. Anytime you play every day, you earn it, man.
Speaking of Blake Snell, he actually played a pretty big role in the wild card race yesterday, just not the National League wild card race. We'll get to that after a check of traffic. First, though, this segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. AL Wildcard Talk coming up after traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So what, they're not one, but two fan bases right now that are in the torture chamber in the American League. Those are the Minnesota Twins and the Kansas City Royals, who are seeing their once 90%+ playoff odds slip away here.
How high did they get?
I think they both got over 90% at one point. And now one of them likely will miss the postseason. The Twins got swept in another doubleheader yesterday by the Red Sox. They have lost 22 of their last 33 games and have fallen a game behind and out of the playoff races. They were passed by the Detroit Tigers yesterday, who beat the Baltimore Orioles 4-3. In fact, the Tigers not only caught and passed the Twins, they also caught the Kansas City Royals, who lost their seventh in a row yesterday they faced Blake Snell. It was actually Blake Snell against Seth Lugo in a battle of 2023 Padres. Couple of aces going at it, and the Giants got a 2-0 win over the Royals, who have dropped seven in a row, and now they are potentially facing a missing the playoff scenario after really looking like they were comfortably in for most of the summer in the American League. But with the Orioles still holding on to that first wild card, now it comes down to the Royals and Tigers are tied. One game ahead of the Twins, and just two games ahead of the Mariners, who've lost yesterday in walk-off fashion to the Rangers. They could have pulled within a game as well. They've played a little bit better, lately under Dan Wilson, their interim manager, but they're going to have an almost perfect week in order to catch him. But someone's missing the playoffs here.
Look at the top teams in the AL wildcard. Orioles lost 2. Royals lost 7. Tigers 1-2. Twins lost 2. Mariners lost 1. Razor.
Look at the last 10 games in the American League.
3-7.
I mean, everybody
2-8.
Falling
the Tigers
apart.
7-3.
The Tigers are about it.
3-7 for the Twins. Mariners 6-4. Oh my God! There's a saying. I'm not allowed to say the second. I don't like when I say it, but it's tight. It's a saying in baseball. Oh man, you got that tight. You can infer b-hole, right? So right. So it's tight. Never has it been more evident than what you're seeing in the American League right now. The Orioles.
Just comparing like the last 10 to the American League to
yes,
the National League.
Yes,
the worst team is the Diamondbacks at 5-5.
Correct.
The reason the Padres can't pick up ground on anyone because everyone in the National League is winning and everybody in the American League is losing.
We've got no help. Like zero help. Zero help. 90 wins, 100% chance of making the playoffs, and have not clinched yet, so just the excruciating, and no game tonight, which just makes it even worse.
So interestingly enough, in the that playoff race in the American League, the Miami Marlins will play a role in that as they will visit the Minnesota Twins for three this week in interleague play on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The Detroit Tigers are hosting the Tampa Bay Rays for three games, and then the Kansas City Royals are at Washington. So they're playing interleague play as well against the Nationals, and they finish against the Atlanta Braves. So you could have the National League and American League, like the last teams decided in that interleague series between the Royals and the Braves this weekend, depending on what the Braves do against the Mets the next 3 days.
Does that series start tonight, Mets-Braves?
Mets-Braves starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Most of these series start tomorrow. The only game of any impact tonight in the playoff race in the National League really is Giants at Diamondbacks.
Let's go Giants.
That's Hayden Birdsong against Eduardo Rodriguez. It's 6:40 tonight at Chase Field. Yeah, Bob Melvin and the Giants, we are now fans for the next 3 days
huge
of the Giants.
Huge
fortunately, they don't have to face Blake Snell, who pitched yesterday, so they will miss him in that series. Arizona three games behind the Padres and trying to make up a little ground before that last series. They'd love to be within a game of the Padres because that would mean if they'd win the series, they would have the tiebreaker and they would have the win. But they need to be within a game for that to be a possibility. Otherwise, they'd
like
have to sweep. Bob Melvin. I really do.
Yeah.
I do this week.
Yeah, me too.
Like Bob Melvin a lot.
Huge fan.
The Giants are, you know, they're an end of season. Well, they were eliminated
well,
over
it's
the weekend.
It's the parallels of Bob Melvin's Padres team of last year and Bob Melvin's Giants team of this year are staggering. They're out of it. They're done.
Yeah.
And now look who's playing really good baseball. And they're loose and they're fun and they're doing bits on the plane. And
yeah, they all dressed up as Oompa Loompas yesterday, except for the 6'11 Sean Jelly, who was Willy Wonka.
Yes.
So all the other players looked really small compared to him.
So now, Oompa Loompas. Now they're playing well again. The pressure's off. Oh, my Lord. So, yeah, definitely rooting for Bob Melvin and his Giants this week for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, if they can just get one, that would be helpful. Two would be great. But the more the Padres can be ahead of the Diamondbacks going into the last series, even if you don't catch the Dodgers, you'd love to be able to wrap up the home field advantage like Friday, and then you don't have to worry about the last couple of days. You can set your bullpen, set your rotation, get ready for a playoff series starting Tuesday at Petco Park.
If that is
what happens. You know, otherwise, you might have to play all the way through Sunday to try to clinch it.
That's the thing, man.
You won't know, are we staying in Arizona? Are we going home after the series? You don't really want it to come down to the last day if you're the Padres.
I really don't. I don't want it to come down to the last day at all. I'd like the Giants to really handle up on the Diamondbacks, who, as Paulie mentioned, were 5-5 in their last 10. So, yeah, just win 6 in a row, win the division. Yeah, that's easy.
I was surprised they took 3 out of 4 from the Brewers. I thought, oh, Milwaukee's red hot going into the series at home.
They laid down.
A 3-day hangover from clinching the NL Central. And finally, they broke out of it with a great comeback yesterday. Took a 10-run comeback to actually win one of those games against the Diamondbacks. But at least they got one, and the Padres did increase that lead to 3. Now, the Mets are actually the second wildcard team because they're tied, but the Mets have the tiebreaker on Arizona. So if the season ended today, Padres would play the Mets. At Petco Park next
season
week.
Season does not end today, unfortunately.
No, but we're getting a lot closer to that being true. Next Monday, the season will be over when we show up for the show 1 week from today.
Man.
We will know who the Padres are playing, where they are playing.
And when.
And when and everything, what network it's on. Other than 97.3 The Fan, we'll know everything by the time we hit these chairs 1 week from today.
Oh, my God.
You guys ready?
I think I am, but I'm not.
Did I miss Sammy?
Was he
I think
there?
He did. He was on Fox 5.
Yeah.
Hey, there's Troy Hirsch.
Yeah. Okay, we can change the channel now.
What a handsome SOB.
Change the channel.
That is fun, man.
See that suit?
Look at
that
nice suit. Paulie, what are we ready for? Rondo Report?
Yes.
Coming up next.
Squatters.
Squatters. Next on 97.3 The Fan.